And here it's 50-50. Ella, says the Gemara, Dika Tisha Kutim, there are 9 non-Jews, Yisrael Echad, and 1 Jew. The majority, the vast majority of the group of people sitting here are non-Jews. Still, the Gemara says, Shmuel teaches us, because it's a situation of Rikuach Nefesh, we're Mekel. Says the Gemara, Hanami Pshita. Even in a situation of 9 and 1, it's still a kavua. It's a situation of kavua. V'kal kavua kemechza mechzadami. So what does this mean? So Mefarshim explain, as we know, the halacha is like this. If there are in a town 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, or vice versa, and somebody went and bought meat in a shop and doesn't recall if he bought it in the kosher shop or non-kosher shop, even though the vast majority is either kosher or non-kosher, since it's kavua, since each one of these shops are set in its place, and I, the buyer, walked into their store, it's always considered a situation of kavua 50-50, and we don't have a roif to follow. When do we say roif? We only say situation of roif when it's parish. That means, if a piece of meat was found in the street, and I don't know if the piece of meat is kosher or non-kosher, so then Roiv tells us we have to look at what are the majority of shops in this city. Are they mostly kosher, mostly non-kosher? Again, there are a lot of details, because the question also is, what is considered a city? And the question is, what say there's one shop that's only 1 of the 10, but that one shop is a lot bigger than the other 9. Does that make a difference? But that's not the point of today's shiur. The point here is that even if we have a situation of 9 kutim and 1 yisrael, it's still kavua. And kavua has a halacha like mechza mechza. And the Gemara just said that by 50-50, it's always safek nefashos lahakel. So we need to understand where is the situation to which Shmuel referred that he started the shiur, that holch and acher, bebikuch nefesh, we always go lahakel. Why? Before we go a step further, why is there a halach of kol kavua? As the Tosfos Rid explains, we know there's a pasuk in the Torah that says acher rav melhatos. We always follow the majority. So what's the difference if it's kavua or not? So the Tosfos Rid explains that the halach of acher rav melhatos is referring to a situation when there is a question, then there's a taruvis. Something got mixed up. What's the classical case where something kosher fell into something non-kosher, and we don't know the piece I pick up is a kosher or not, is a bottle. So we have a taruvis. In that situation, there's a din that roiv tells us what to do. Here there's no taruvis. Everything is in its place. That's why the normal dinim of roiv don't apply. The crazy placey says a very interesting vart here. In the yeshivas, there's always a shaila. We just said that we follow roiv. Now, there's always a shaila, what does roiv tell us? One way of understanding roiv, which means a majority tells us the fact. If the majority people here are Jewish, we assume that everybody is Jewish. That's what roiv tells us, to look at every person as a Jew. Or roiv can't tell us that everybody is Jewish, because the fact is they're not all Jewish. Roiv is a gzeres hakasef. The Torah says you have a shaila, you have a suffix, you have a doubt, so you need a method how to deal with it. So the Torah tells us, you know what the method to use is? Follow the roiv, follow the majority. Says the Kreisi Yeplasi, from here we see that roiv is not some sort of a fact. Roiv can't create facts. Roiv is a gzeres hakasef, and therefore, although normally in the Torah there's a gzeres hakasef, the Torah tells us follow the majority. Pikuach nefesh is an exception to that rule, and the Torah tells us that here we don't need you to follow the majority. Here we don't go after the majority, but we still haven't identified the situation to what Shmuel spoke. Says the Gemara, like Tzricha, Shmuel is referring to a situation, the parish l'chatzah acheres, that they went, this group started up in the first chatzah, and then they moved to another chatzah, which is not where they are the kavua. So we don't have this concept, the kol kavua kemechza mechza. So the first group was a group of 9 kutim and 1 yisrael. They leave their first area to another area, so it's no longer kavua. So at the time we would say that under the circumstances we should use the halachic principle of called the parish, meruba parish, follow the majority. Here the majority are kutim, kamash malon. That's why Shmuel came to teach us the loy holchu bepikuach nefesh acharoiv, that as long as there's one Jew, we are mekel. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that indeed true? V'amr Rav Asi, Amr Rav Yochanan, tish kutim v'Yisrael echad. If you have 9 kutim and 1 Yisrael, b'oisa chatzer, they're in the first chatzer, mefachin, because we go l'kula. However, if they're b'chatzer acheres, if they move to another chatzer, a mefachin. So we see here that if they did move from the first chatzer, where they were kavua, to another chatzer, we don't say that we continue saying kol kavua machza machza. Yet you just said that even when they, that Shmuel's chiddush, is that even when they move to the next chatzer, we still say that we're mekel. Says the Gemara, and again, there's a lot of ways of learning this Gemara. First, we're going to learn like Rashi. Lo'kash, ha'da parash kula, ha'da parash miktsasayu. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. If we had the entire group, 9 kutim and 1 yisrael, in this chatzer, this is chatzer A. Now they all move, this entire group moved to the next chatzer. So we no longer have a kavua. So normally the halacha would tell us that we should follow the majority, and the majority here are kutim, and perhaps we shouldn't be mechal Shabbos. Comes along Shmuel and tells us that no, we don't follow the majority. Ein holchem epikuach nefesh achar roif. However, says Rashi, the Gemara tells us that let's say it wasn't the entire group that moved from chatzer A to chatzer B; it was only part of this group. So now, in this chatzer, A, we don't have a kavua, because it's not the original chatzer. B, it was only part of the group that moved from chatzer A to chatzer B. There, Shmuel will agree that we're not mechal Shabbos if somebody in that chatzer B gets not well. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi for a simple reason. He says, if they all kavua in this chatzer, you have 9 and 1 in this chatzer, and then they all move as a group to the next chatzer, so as much as the kavu and chatzer A, the kavu and chatzer B. So what does it make a difference? So that's why Taisha says that they moved to chatzer, that Taisha says that it's somebody else that came in. That's how Taisha learns. How do we explain Rashi? Taisha's kasha is a good kasha. What's the difference if it's a chatzer A or chatzer B, if it's the original group? So Taisha, so the Kabbin Nisanel says that if the kavu is a chiddush, that we say that we don't follow the majority in the case of kavua, like we explained a couple of moments ago, as a chiddush. In halacha, we always say ein bei el chiddushay. We only follow as much as the chiddush allows us. So the chiddush is only in the first area they consider kavua, nowhere else. Taisus therefore learns what happened was this whole group moved from chatzer A to chatzer B. If they all stay there as a group, the halacha will be that we're mekel because the kavua continues. On the other hand, if part of the group left, that's when the questions begin. The Rif and the Rosh have a whole different approach to the Gemara. They say it's not referring to a situation where they went to another chatzer. He said, they explained the Gemara this way. If we started with a group that was kavua in the chatzer, so we always are mekel, because kavua is a mechza, mechza. So they explained that the Gemara says that even if some people leave that group, we still, as we were always mekel in this chatzer, will continue to be mekel in the chatzer. However, if the entire group leaves the chatzer, and then somebody from the street walks in, he isn't afforded the kul of kavur, because he's entirely a newcomer, and the entire old group is gone, and that, for that person, we could not be mekel unless we knew he was Jewish, or he's from a city which is mainly Jewish. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel indeed say that we're always mekel? But not. We learned in the Mishnah. Matzvah Tinek Mishloch. The Mishnah Masechet Ksubos. We find a child in the street, Nebuch. And we don't know the status of a child. Is he Jewish or non-Jewish? Tells us the Mishnah. In Rav Kutim, if the majority of the people in the city are Kutim, we treat him as a Kutim. In Rav Yisrael, if the majority of people in the city are Jews, we treat him like a Yisrael as if he's Jewish. Mechza, Mechza. If it's 50-50, Yisrael. We treat him as a Jew. And the Gemara will explain this more on that Pehei Yom Aleph. Mamarav, Loishano, El Lach Yosai. When we say that we treat him as a Jew, when the majority or 50-50 are Jewish, that means that we have to support him. That if he doesn't have money, that's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, we have to support him. Aval yachsoy, to consider him a full-fledged Jew, loy. That we can't consider him a full-fledged Jew. What does that mean? Rashi says, we know that the halacha is that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geyoris. We can't say, says the Gemara, that if the majority of people in this city are Jewish, that we consider this person so much a Jew that he doesn't have to go through Geyoris, that if it's a woman, that she's a full-fledged Jew that may marry a Kohen. We have to always be concerned that she's not Jewish, goes through Geyoris, and therefore cannot marry a Kohen. Rashi also points out, there's always the question that he may be a mamzer. How do we know that this person, this child found, is not a mamzer? So the Gemara Masechet Ksuba says that if when we find a child in the street, the child is well-groomed and clean, that's a proof that it's not a mamzer. So mamzer is not a consideration here. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, what is pshat that the Mishnah is telling us that we consider him Jewish when it's Roy Yisrael or 50-50? Loy lefakech slav zagal, that we can be mechal Shabbos on behalf of this child. So we always see here that the only time that Shmuel allows us to be mechal Shabbos if it's Roy Yisrael or Mechsi Yisrael. Yet we began the shiur saying that Shmuel says we can always be mechal Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, kietma de Shmuel, regarding what did Shmuel say his din, areish etma. We go back to the beginning. The beginning of the Mishnah says, Imroif kutim kuti. If the majority of people here are kutim, we consider him a kuti. On that tells us Shmuel, am a Shmuel, ul inyan pikuach nefesh, ain a kain. If it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, even if it's roif kutim, we have to be mechal Shabbos. Why? Because ain hochen acha pikuach nefesh, acha haroif. Now the Gemara will analyze every clause of this Mishnah that we just quoted and try to understand what is the Mishnah teaching us. The Mishnah taught us, Imroif kutim kutim. If the majority of the city are kutim, we treat this child as a kuti. Says the Gemara Lamai Hilchasa, regarding what? Amra Papa Lachila Nevelis. We could give him non-kosher food. We don't have to be concerned that he's Jewish. However, Rashi, the Sfas Emes points out, Rashi indicates that's only until the child becomes a bar bas mitzvah age. At that point, we should be Megayah the child, and he should be a Jew. Since there is a question that he may be Jewish, so be Megayah, and then treat him as a Jew. The Rambam doesn't say that he has to be Megayah him. He could stay a Kuti his whole life. And the Sfas Emes explains what's the machlokes of Rashi and Rambam. So he explains it this way. The Rambam we know holds, we know the din is Safek Deraisa L'chumra. When you ever have a Safek Deraisa, we have to be Machmer. The question is that a din midaraisa or is that a din midarabonin? Famous machlokes Rambam and Rashba. The Rambam holds that din of Safek Deraisa L'chumra is only midarabonin. So midaraisa, we have this person who's a Safek, if he's a Jew or non-Jew. So he could stay a non-Jew. We don't have to be machmer midaraisa. On the other hand, Rashi holds Safek Deraisa L'chumra is a din midaraisa. So he may be a Jew. So we can't leave him as a kuti, and therefore he should go through gear. Imroiv Yisrael, then the Mishnah also taught us, if the majority of the city is Jewish, we treat him like Yisrael. Lamai Hechasa, what does this teach us? Lachsa Alveda, that we give him Lachsa Alveda. We know that if a Jew loses something and we find it, we have to return it to him. This person, if it's a city of 50-50, we have to treat him. If it's a city of Roiv Yisrael, we have to treat him as a Jew and give him back that his Aveda. What will be the halacha? Asks Tosfos, if it's 50-50, do we have to return the Aveda? So Tosfos says, then we don't have to return the Aveda. Why don't we have to return the Aveda? Because we could tell the person who comes, this child, prove that you're Jewish, and then we'll give you back your Aveda. If you can't prove it, we know the klal is, Hamaitzim Chaveroi, all of Haraya. You prove it, and otherwise I'll give. What about, are we allowed to give him Nevela? If it's a 50-50, if it's a, what do you call it, if it's Roiv Yisrael? So Rashi says, certainly we're not allowed to give him Nevela. Because even if it's 50-50, we're not allowed to give him Nevela. And certainly if it's Roiv Yisrael, we're not allowed to give him Nevela. The Rishayim ask a question. Shmuel is the man to Omer, that teaches us throughout Shas that ain holch b'mamon acharoyv. We can't follow majority. What does that mean? If you and I are in litigation and you have a claim against me, even if Roiv is on your side, that doesn't mean that you should be able to get the money you're claiming from me. Ain holch b'mamon acharoyv. So here we're following Roiv to give him back the Aveda. So Mefarshim say a very fundamental principle. When is there a halach of en holch b'mamon acharoyv? I'm sitting, I have my money. You come and claim that I owe you this money. To be able to take that money from me, you can't just be a roiv. You have to be 1,000%. Here the money I have is an aveda. It's not mine. I found something. The question is, do I have to give it to you? Here, we do follow roiv. The next halacha was, machza machzi Yisrael. We said if it's 50-50, it's Yisrael. L'may helchasa. Regarding what? Regarding what do we treat him as Yisrael? So before we say Rish Lakish is Teretz, let's just say a word of introduction. We know the halacha is, Sechta Babakama, really it's a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, that if one Jew's axe damages another Jew's axe, so it depends. The first three times that an axe does damage is a tam, and he pays chatzi nezek, half the value. Afterwards, he becomes a muad, and he pays nezek shalom. That's when the two parties are Jewish. But let's say one party is Jewish and one party isn't. There are two halachas. Number one, a non-Jew always has to pay nezek shalom. That's one halacha. And another halacha is that if a Jew acts, damages a kuti's acts, he doesn't have to pay at all. So that's what Rish Lakish says, the situation of mechza mechza Yisrael is relevant to. Hey, chidami, exactly what? Inam the nachi tur de don, if a Jew's acts damaged the tur de day, and now he comes and says, I'm Jewish, I deserve damages, so we could tell him, nice arrival, Nishko, prove that you're Jewish, and then I'll pay it. Otherwise, I don't have to pray it. The case is the nachet tur the day, the tur the don. His axe, which was a tam, it's the first time it did damage. So pagi yovle, he certainly has to pay chatzin nezek, because even if he's Jewish, he has to pay chatzin nezek. Either palga, but now what about the other half? I say to him, you're not Jewish, you have to pay nezek shalom. He says, I am Jewish, I only have to pay chatzin nezek. Neimelai, that's when this person, this child could say, I see rai the lav Yisrael, no? Bring proof that I am not Jewish, v'shkol, and then you could take it. Until then, I'm only going to give you chatzi nezek. So Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have really explained all three cases, roiv kutim, roiv Yisrael, mechza, mechza, regarding nezakim, and explain if it's roiv Yisrael, that if our shor was mazik his shor, we have to pay. If it's 50-50, as we just explained, and if it's roiv kutim, he always has to pay nezek shalom. So we could have explained all three causes around nezakim. Tosfos says the Gemara preferred not to say that approach because the Gemara prefers to tell us more halachas, and that's why every clause teaches us a different subject. So we continue. We learned in the Mishnah that Misha Nafla Pilus, if somebody, a wall fell on somebody, and there, we learned in the Mishnah there are all sorts of different questions. Is he there? Is he alive? Is he Jewish? Then we do whatever we have to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara, why did the Mishnah have to mention all these questions? My comma, what's the Mishnah mean? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah means as follows. Loimen ba'i comma. Loimen ba'i suffik husham, suffik enisham. It's no question if we don't know if he's there or not. Di sechayhu, but if he's there, we know he's certain alive. The mefachin, that we certainly have to do what has to be done. We don't even know if he's alive. Mefachin. We still have to do whatever it takes in Shabbos. And not only in a question if he's alive or dead, but he's certainly Yisrael. We don't even know if he's Jewish. In all the cases, mefachin, we do what we have to. So the Mishnah says, Mitzochai, if we find that he's alive, mefachin, we do whatever it takes. Says the Gemara, Mitzochai, if we found him alive, pshita, we just finished learning that you have to do whatever it takes. Leitzricha, the Gemara is talking about Tafil al-Chai Shah. Even though we found him alive, his situation is very bad, and he won't make it. Still, we do whatever is necessary for even that short amount of time that he'll have to live. So the Prima Gadim asks obvious question. We're going to learn soon the sugya that when we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Chayla, we're even allowed to be Mechal Shabbos even though his chances of surviving are very minimal, and he's going to live a very short amount of time. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? That's always the din. So The Prima Godim says that our Mishnah is teaching us the following Chiddush. Let's say we're dealing with a situation where this person jumped off the roof. So he's the one that caused himself to be in this situation. You don't have to jump off the roof. You shouldn't jump off the roof. So maybe I would say, when is there a halacha that we're mechal Shabbos? We're mechal Shabbos when the person never chasik. But this person that caused it, perhaps we're not mechal Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. It doesn't make a difference. We're still mechal Shabbos. The mace, yenechua. But if he's found dead, we leave him there. Says the Gemara, hanami pshita. We know, as we learned Masechta Shabbos, that a mace is muksa, and we don't touch him. Says the Gemara, tzricha el Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The Tanya, the Mishnah, the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Shabbos, ein metzilas mace with bnei leika. And if there's a fire on Shabbos in the house, we don't touch the mace, because the mace is muksa. Amar Yehuda ben Lakish, shemati, shematzilas mace with bnei leika. You are allowed to save him. Why? Because we're concerned that if you won't save him, as the Gemara explains, we may come to extinguish the fire, which is a malacha deraisa. Says the Gemara, a filler Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, loy kamar, when was Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish makel, that you could take the mace out on Shabbos? Ela metaksh on the bala mesoi, a person is concerned about leaving his nifter there, that will chas v'shom get burnt. Ela sharsley, we won't let him take it out, osu l'chbuyen. Aval hacha, in our Gemara, what are we concerned? Eloi Sharaslei, if you're not going to let to take out this dead person, Mayas Lameva, there's no Daraisa. So, there's a lot to say in this Gemara. I'll just say a little. First of all, there's Machlekes Rishonim, that when we, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, lets us take out the mace, can we carry him regular, or can we only carry him at Tiltum and at Tzad, because he's Muksa? It's Machlekes Rishonim. The Ramah says, L'chatchila, you should never have such a shayla. But you should carry him tiltum and atzad. If there is no choice, you could carry him even normal. Another shayla, when we're carrying him out to other chatzar, does it have to be a chatzar that we have an eruv with, or even with a chatzar without an eruv? Again, l'chatchila, it should be with an eruv, but the eruv, as long as it's one rishus ha'yachat, another rishus ha'yachat, we could carry him out. Now, the Tosfos Yeshanim asks a very fundamental question. He says, there's a famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos, it's the Halacha, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says that if there's a fire, we're not allowed to save anything from the fire. Why? Because we're concerned that if Metarcha Adam Baal Amamayna, when it comes to a person's property, he gets anxious. Ishar Slave, we're going to let him start saving property, Aslach Buya, he may extinguish. Here the Gemara says just the opposite, that if we don't let him take out the mace, will concern that it'll extinguish the fire. It's just the opposite. So there are two answers to that kasha. One answer is, you can't compare mace to property. At the end of the day, property is money. Comes and goes. A mace, a person cannot stand and watch that his mace should be damaged. Another teretz, which is the Tosfos Yeshanim's teretz, is that a mace, there's not that much involved in saving a mace. You have to schlep him out. Property, there's a person has a lot in his home. And therefore, by property is more of a concern that once you start working there, you may come to extinguish the fire, whereas we don't have that concern by a mace. So the Gemara says, however, by clearing the rubble, where there's no shail of a deraisa, we're allowed to clear the rubble, says the Rishash. Therefore, our Gemara is only relevant where the only action involved in clearing the rubble is a malacha deraisa. But if clearing the rubble would involve a malacha derabanan, if clearing the rubble would involve a malacha deraisa, then the halacha would be, just like by a mace, you're allowed to take him out, and otherwise we're concerned you may come to do a deraisa. Tana rabbanan. So now we have a question, this is a very fundamental issue. We have the person laying here, we don't know if he's dead or alive, we have to examine him. Is the question, at heichu and hubay, habaydik, how much do we examine? At chayim p'tmai. We have to check his nose, if there's any ear. We put a feather by his nose and see if it's moved. Some say we have to check for the heart, for a heartbeat. Let's say there's a number of bodies, Rechamon Tzlan, and the upper one's found to be dead. Don't automatically assume that the bottom bodies are also dead, because there have been situations. Even though the upper bodies didn't survive, the lower people did. Says the Gemara, Neima Hani Tanoi Kani Tanoi. Perhaps this machlokes, we check the nose or the heart, is another machlokes. The Tanya, there's a Braisa. Mehechin Havlad Noitza. What is first created in a human fetus? Miroishai. So the Tanakhama says, from the heart. Shinema Mei, there's a passing in Tehillim, Mei Imi, from my mother's womb, at the Goizi. A nozzle should grow his hair. So we see it starts from the goizi, from the hair. Abishol Omer, mitibura, it starts from his navel, or all the mafashim say from the heart, from the middle of the body, or mashlich shrush of elech, and then it expands. So perhaps that's the machlokes. The man dama that says the heart holds like Abishol, the man dama that says the nose holds like the Tanakama. Says the Gemara, it's not connected. Afil tem Abishol. Where did Abishol say that it's talking about, that we start from the heart? Elin Yitzira, there it's talking about the creation. The Kol Midi, that's the way the world works. Everything Mitzioso Mitzer is created from the middle. Avelin Bekuch Nefesh, here we're referring to Bekuch Nefesh. Afil Abishol Moide, Dike Chayusa Be'apihu. He agrees that the sign of life is from the nostrils. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Bereshit, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Be'apai. Says Rapapa, Machloikis is Mimata Lamala. The Machloikis between them is when the body was found, and we discovered his feet first. So now we could get to the heart before the nose. And the question is, if we see that he's no heartbeat, is that a proof of death? Avo Mimala Mimata, if the head was found. Everybody agrees. Kim in the bottom leg at Choytmai, once the nose is examined, and we see that he's not alive, Shuv Ein Tzarech, that's a clear proof of death. The Ksiv, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Be'apav, life is in the nostrils. So, this is a very relevant question, which I will not get involved with. This is the question of brain death. What is the proof of death? But just to quote the Marsham and Ramosha Feinstein, the Marsham says that when the Gemara here speaks about the nose or the heart, it doesn't mean, he says, that the stopping of breathing or stopping of a heartbeat is death. He says these are proof that death occurred. And therefore, based on that principle, Rav Moshe says that if there are other ways of determining life, an EKG or other types of diagnostic test, certainly we just don't follow what the Gemara says, and if we take a feather to his nose or check for a heartbeat. But the Gemara is saying is we need to have proof that he's death. In fact, I saw an interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer writes that in his time, the government made a decree that anybody who died should not be buried for 3 days. Why? Because they were concerned that the person wasn't really dead. If for 3 days we see signs of death, that's a proof of death. That was the concept that we can never know for sure. And that's exactly what the Paiskim say, that to declare a person dead, it's not just that you take one examination and that's a clear proof. It has to be very, very clear and no question that the person is no longer alive. Continues the Gemara. The Kaya Rishma Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Lesben Azariah, Mahalka Medarach, they were walking on the road. So Levi has Sadet, and the Mepharshim say Levi was an organizer, able to organize the Divrei Torah. Rishma Benosha Rabbi Lesben Azariah, Mahalka Nachrayim, was following them. Initial Shaila Zabifneim, the following question was asked. How do we know that for Bikuach Nefesh, we're Doicha the Shabbos? And like the Mepharshim explained, we're not talking about a situation which is certain Bikuach Nefesh. Because we've been learning the Sugyas, that everything has to be done to preserve life, besides the Gimel Averis, Gila Rai, Shvichas Tamim, and Ritzicha. Here we're talking about even a Sofik. How do we know even for a Sofik we're Mechal Shabbos? Nenner Bishmol V'Omar. The Pasuk says, Parshas Mishpatim. If somebody digs a tunnel into someone else's home and to steal, tells us the pasuk, "Mechteres yimotzei ganef." You find this ganef in the tunnel, you're allowed to kill him. Now let's analyze the situation. This person that's breaking into the home, umazeh sofek amamimba, sofek ashvich nefashas ba. We don't know if the person's coming to do any bodily damage. He just may be coming to steal. And we know how serious it is to kill somebody. How serious it is. We're still allowed to kill this intruder because there's a concern that he may kill you.
Kavachomer b'kuach nefesh, when we have a situation b'kuach nefesh, shadoichas a Shabbos. Ask the mitzvah eisen. The Gemara could have said an easier proof. What's the halacha on Shabbos if somebody breaks into the house? You're allowed to kill him on Shabbos, even though killing is a malacha. So you see that malacha is, that b'kuach nefesh is doicha malacha. So the mitzvah eisen answers that killing is not a malacha, because it's malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. Rabbi Shmuel Rizovsky answers that it's not a malacha, because as we've said, kol makalkin, when a malacha is done in a destructive fashion, it's not a malacha. Killing a person is about as destructive as you're going to get. Then Rabbi Kivama, he has another proof. The pasuk says, v'chiyazit ishal reyu. If a kohen killed somebody, the halacha is, me'imiz b'chita k'chana l'omus. He should be taken out to be killed. However, shot in the pasuk is, me'imiz b'chi v'loy me'al mizbechi. Only if he's going to do the avoider, do we take him to be killed. But not while he's doing the avoider. If he's doing the avoider, we don't interrupt it. To take a kohen who's mechuyev misa while he's doing the avoider, we don't take him. Aval hachyos. But let's say there's a person who is on trial, and this kohen knows testimony that could exonerate him. Afilu me'al mizbechi. We're allowed to take him off. Explains the Gemara. Omazer, this kohen who's doing the avoider. I don't know what he's going to say really has any relevance. Safak emam shtvarav, maybe not really relevant. And we know that halacha is avoid doicha Shabbos. We know how serious the avoid is, because even on Shabbos, and as we learned so much in this Masechta, Shabbos Yom Kippur, avoid is doichet. Kal v'chaymel b'kuach nefesh, certainly a situation of b'kuach nefesh, should doicha Shabbos. Ask the Sfas Emes, why the kohen who is doing the avoid, do we interrupt him from doing the avoider to come to say testimony, even if we're not sure, why don't we just put it recess to the trial? Send a message to the court, let's put the trial into recess until the kohen is available. So says the Sfas Emes, if the situation that the Gemara were referring to was during a trial, we wouldn't interrupt the avoider. We put the trial into recess. The situation, he says, is that the person is already being taken out, lemisa, to being killed. So there's no testimony, there's no trial to put into recess, and this kohen may know something to save him. We tell him, save him, interrupt avoider. Nana Rabbi Lozov Omer, Oma Mila, She'echad Mimasayim V'Abba Shemayim Avim Shba'odim. Mila is only one of the 248 limbs of a person. Dalach is Doichas Shabbos, we'll have to do Mila on Shabbos, Kavachayim L'Kol Gufoy, certainly for the whole body, She'Doichas Shabbos, we'll have to Shabbos when there's a question of a person's life and death on the line. So the question is obvious. Where is the life and death by Mila? That we're saying that we're proving it from Mila. So Rashi explains, because the halacha is if somebody doesn't have Mila, he's mechuyev karis. That's why it's a life and death issue. But it's a very difficult Rashi, all the mefarshim ask. Because the person not mechuyev, when do we do the Mila? When the child is 8 days old. When is the person chayev karis? Not before he's 20. There's plenty of time to do the bris from 8 days to 20. So the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Gemara. We bring a proof from Moshe Rabbeinu. We remember the story that when Moshe Rabbeinu's family was traveling to Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu had not done a bris milah on his son Eliezer, and he was in danger of being killed, of dying, until Tzipporah did the bris. So we see that without a milah, a person is besakana. But I saw another very interesting vart. The Ritzina Rebbe once met Reb Chaim Briska. Maybe he met more than once. One time when he met Reb Chaim Briska, he said, I'll prove to you that there's at least one Gemara in Shas that you have to learn with a Chassidish Pshat. So Reb Chaim said, which is the Gemara? He said, this Gemara. He says, what? He asked the question that we asked. Where's the Sakana by Mila that we could prove from Mila that just like for one Aver is B'Sakana, certainly when the whole body's in Sakana. Where's the Sakana there? He said, the sakana is the ruchnis to the sakana. A person that doesn't have a mila is b'sakana in his ruchnis to the status. A Jew that's an oral, we're going to learn about it more tomorrow, is not a complete Jew, ruchnis to wise. So that's what he said. If a person b'sakana ruchnis, we're allowed to save him. So too, when he's b'sakana b'gashmis. The story goes, Reb Chaim was maskim. Reb Yais b'Yehudaimer, Eshev Shoyse Teshmaru, Yochel Koyel, Pasuk always says, yeah, I always have to be Shem Shabbos, Tamalim Ach. The Pasuk says, Ach Eshab Shoyesetim Shmaru Chilik. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. When not? When there's a question of Kuch Nefesh. Rav Yonis and Beyoisweimer, the Pasuk says regarding Shabbos, Ki Kodesh Hi Lochem. He Mesur B'yetchem. You are in the hands of Shabbos. V'loy Atem Mesur. He's in your hands, V'loy Atem Mesur B'yodah. Shabbos wasn't given that we should come to Chas V'Shalom Sakana because of it. Rav Shimon Manasi Omer, the Pasuk says, V'Shom V'nei Yisrael Asa Shabbos. Omer Torah, the Torah teaches us, Chalel Olav Shabbos Achas, we allow you to be Mechal one Shabbos, Kidei Sheishma Shabbos Harbe. In order that through this Chal Shabbos the person will survive, and will be able to keep many more Shabbos. And the Mefarshim say, even if he won't make it to the next Shabbos, but if he'll be able to do mitzvahs during the week, that also is enough of a reason to Mechal Shabbos. Omer Yehuda Meshmul, this conversation was a conversation between Tanoim. Shmuel was an Amoira. He says, had I been there, I would say the D Adif Madhu. My reasoning why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos by a question of Kuch Nefesh is the greatest. The Pasuk says, V'chai behem, V'lo Shiyomus behem. The mitzvahs were given to give us life. Mitzvahs should not be a vehicle to Chas V'Shalom cause any detriment. Omer Rava, Srava makes the following comment. L'kul is l'purcha. All the various different limudim that we had, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, there's a question, you can ask a question on. Bar mid Shmuel, besides the reasoning that Shmuel gives, the less l'purcha, there's no reason. There's Shmuel, on what the Shmuel said, by the Machteris, that we're allowed to kill the person, even though it's a Sofik. Dimaka the Rava, maybe it's not a Sofik. Because the Omer Rava might tam the Machteris, why did the Torah allow us to kill the intruder? It's not a question that he may kill us. Chazaka, we know for a fact, they know the Maman Atzma Memonai. Everybody knows, the Ganef knows that I will do everything to protect my property. Vahai made the Yodah the Koy Lapoy. So the Ganef knows that I will stand up to him. Vamei Lapoy, if I stand up to him, Katimalei, I'll kill him. The Torah Amr, and therefore the Torah says, self-defense, Bala Hashkin Larga, you kill him. Vashkhan Vaday. So we only know when there's a situation of a Vaday, Kuch Nefesh, that we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. However, Safak Minola, similarly, the Rekiva Nami, the case of Rekiva said that we take the Koyin from the Nizbeach, Dilma Krabaya. Maybe the way to understand that situation is like Abaya says, Damri Abaya, Masrin Le Zugud Rabbonim, we send with the witness a pair of Talmid Chachamim, Lay the Yesh Mamish Dvarav. So it's not just a Safik, it's for sure that he has testimony. So again, Vashkan Vaday Sofik Minolan. And the Gemara says, Kulan Ashkan Vaday. All the cases that we discussed, we only know for a Vaday with Mechal Shabbos. Sofik Minolan. How do we know a Sofik? However, the Shmuel, the case of Shmuel, Vaday Les Le Pircha. But Shmuel said, V'chai Behem, there's no question. V'chai Behem, V'loi Shemes Behem, Jewish life supersedes any of the mitzvahs besides the Gimel Mitzvahs Chamuris. Om Ravina, V'tem Rav Nachman Yitzchak. What's the comment to be said in this Gemara? Tava chada papilta, charifa, it's better one shaw pepper, mimolot son of the kairi, than a whole pot of cucumbers. Shmuel was an amira. All these other people were tanoim. His two words, v'chai behem, v'lo shiyamas behem, is more powerful than everything else. There's a few things to discuss, somewhat la'aloch l'maisa. The Rechaim says, the Pasuk says, v'shom v'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, lasis as a Shabbos, teaches us the Torah. V'shom v'nei Yisrael, as a Shabbos, you know what is called Shmiras Shabbos? Lasis as a Shabbos. That by being Mechal Shabbos, that somebody should be able to be Shomer Shabbos in the future by preserving his life, that is the biggest Shmiras Shabbos. So Mechas Chinuch asks a question on the Aruch Hayim. L'maskon of the Gemara, as we just learned, what is the proof that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? For Chai Behem. So how do we know, asked Mechas Chinuch, why is he still this concept of Chal of Shabbos Achos, Kedei Shishma Shabbos Harbe? The Gemara proved it from V'chai Behem. So the Mefarshim explained that there are a number of situations where the concept of Shmor Shabbos Achos, Kedei Shishma Shabbos Harbe are relevant, and V'chai Behem is not relevant. One situation that they discuss is, let's say the person is not physically ill, but mentally ill. Are we allowed to
do something for him on Shabbos. I will allow to be Mechal Shabbos. He'll live. He just won't be able to be perform the mitzvahs. So the Gemara is teaching us that even if it's only a mental illness, we can live a very long life, we're still allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. All the Mefarshim explain a very important concept. And the Beis Yosef says it La'alocha. Even if there's no physical danger, he speaks about a case that, let's say, there was someone caught by the missionaries. And are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save that person? There's no physical danger. So he says, based on this Gemara, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Why? Because by being Mechal Shabbos and saving this person, they'll be able to be Mechal Shabbos and be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs for the rest of their lives. In fact, there's a Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, that's pshat in what we say in the Tefillah on Shabbos Neshmana Asrei. We say, Ushnei luchas avonim hurried biyadai the kosmem shmiru Shabbos. What's pshat in that tefillah? Beautiful pshat. When did Moshe Rabbeinu bring down the luchas? On Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry. So how is he allowed to carry? Ushnei luchas avonim hurried biyadai. How is he allowed to carry the two luchas? The answer is, because of Shmir Shabbos. He brought the luchas in order that Klal Yisrael should learn the Torah and be able to be Shomrei Torah mitzvahs the rest of their lives. What does our Gemara teach us? That in order to be Shomrei Torah mitzvahs the rest of your life, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. But the Gemara says that what is the real proof? V'chai behem. So the Mefarshim ask, how do we know that the Pasuk is talking about V'chai behem, that I'm allowed to do something to save somebody else? Maybe the Pasuk means, V'chai behem, I am allowed to do anything for myself to live. But how do I know that I'm allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for somebody else? So I say, look at the beginning of the Pasuk. The beginning of the Pasuk says, Ushmatem es a mitzvah, as shiyasa oisem, Ushmatem es mitzvaysai. Ushmatem is a Lashon Rabbim. So we're not only speaking to the person, we're speaking to everybody. Ushmartem, all of you have the obligation to make sure that v'chai behem, everybody remains alive. So I saw a question from the Meshech Chochmah. The Meshech Chochmah asks, if that is indeed the case, that we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a person, so then why, if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, is Mechuyev Misa? Shabbos, we said, is only a vehicle to give life. Just looking for the pasuk. Shabbos is a vehicle to give life. Here there's no way to give life. The person's anyway not going to make it. The answer is that the Pasuk says, Ushmatim sa Shabbos ki ka'idishi lochem mechal leh mois yumas ki chol ha'ois ba malach v'nechrasa nefesh ahi. He says like this. The Pasuk means, Ushmatim sa Shabbos b'shem Shabbos ki ka'idishi lochem because it's holy. But when? If it doesn't involve pikuach nefesh. However, Mechal Leho, as soon as Mechal Shabbos, my Shumas, we should kill him with Skila. I'll ask the question that we just said, that whoever is, that Shabbos is only a vehicle to give life, not to bring death, tells us the Pasuk, Ki Kala Oisba Malacha, whoever did Malacha is V'nechrasa Nefeshahi. This person is already caught off from the source of life. So we don't look at him as a live person. Where is there a din that we have to be Mechal Shabbos? For a live person. But this person, says the Meshech Chochmah, who's a Mechal of Shabbos, he's a person of a Nechrasa. He has no source of life, and there is no din to keep him alive. Shmatim sa Shabbos, but we should be Shomrei Shabbos, and we should also be V'chai b'hem, we should stay healthy and alive.